Well, good evening, Harvest family. Evening. Trust everyone has had a good week this week. Looking forward to the time of together in Bible study and prayer together with everyone. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us and your blessings upon us. Pray that you bless our time together tonight. Be with Brother Mike as he's out and about and camping, Lord. I pray that his time of camping will be over before the storm comes in. I pray that you protect him, keep him safe. Pray that you bless our time together tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified through our fellowship and through our singing. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless them. Father, now that you have blessed us, Lord, as we transition to our Bible study tonight, I pray that you'd help me. Father, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Lord, help me be a source of blessing and encouragement and challenge as we look at, again, Lord, things that are an abomination to God from the Word of God in Proverbs. Lord, bless our time together, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And for my father-in-law, if you would, just pray specifically on his rehab, whether it's tomorrow or Friday. There is a brand new center that's been opened recently that's doesn't have a bed available today, but we're praying that one will open up tomorrow or Friday. They can go there. It's convenient from where they live, and they have really, if one I understand, have much raves from their former patients that's come in and out. It's one of the top rehab centers there in the Tidewater area, so that we can pray specifically on that. I'd appreciate that. That would be such a blessing, but wherever he goes, that he'll be able to do the work and be able to get home in within a couple of weeks. All right, if you have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 20, and we'll read that here in just a few moments. I'll wait just a moment, and then we've went over the last several weeks, and we'll go over that definition one more time. Abomination, it's a disgusting thing, something that is terrible, morally repulsive, or wicked. And over the last several weeks, we've looked at abominations to God. We've looked at a proud look, a lying tongue, people that kill innocent are an abomination, the plans of the wicked, people that are swift to mischief, a false witness, sowers of discord among the brethren, a false balance in crooked weights, the abominable sacrifices of the wicked, spiritually mute, false-hearted prayers. Now, I want you to keep in mind what abomination means, and as we look at this list is just not for the world and the lost. There are Christians that can fall into some of these categories. We need to be on guard. We need to be cautious. Just skimming over real quick, the proud look, the lying tongue, a false witness, those that sow discord among the brethren, the false-hearted prayers, many of those things, a false balance, dishonesty. You can be a Christian and still be guilty of some of those things. We need to keep in mind in our walk, in our testimony, that we are making sure that these things that are pleasing in the God, and when we recognize that these things that are disgusting, that we do not take part in. So letter K tonight, the next one we'll look at, I think three tonight, and we'll finish this section. A froward or perverted heart. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 20. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such are as upright in their way are his delight. I don't know about you, but when my name is spoken, I hope that it's in delight, especially when it comes to the Lord and his thoughts as we speak to him. The Lord froward here is from the Greek word ikashe, if I'm saying this right, which means twisted, crooked, distorted, or perverted. Again, something that's an abomination to our Lord. This word describes the wicked as having twisted or distorted minds. And there's no doubt we live in that error. And, you know, I saw something on the news this week that I probably would have never been on the news when I was a youth. And that was, there's something on the news for someone who is pretty much the founder of the adult film industry. Speaking of him being attacked, it was in the news. It wouldn't even been in the news when I was growing up because they wouldn't even want to talk about. Because what? Because it's wicked. It's an abomination. It's perverted. But yet, it was in the news today. Their thinking is consistently warped and focused on evil, is what Proverbs is referring to. Froward people take something that is wholesome, something that is innocent, and turn it into something perverted. Filthy words and perverted stories come from their mouth and their mind. Think of the Bible. The sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were men that were perverted in their actions and their thinking. And I'll come back to this, probably say it again in a moment. But keep in mind, just because something is in the Bible doesn't mean that it's okay. Some people get the idea, well, what's in the Bible that's talked about? What's wrong? Well, first of all, even though they were spoken of, they were not qualified to do the job they were doing. But yet, they were doing it. We'll look at Scripture on that in just a moment. But they turned the service of the Lord into a brothel, a sexually seducing women that served at the entrance of the tabernacle. The problem here was the fact that they should not have been serving in the first place because they did not know the Lord. They were wicked, froward men. They were wicked, perverted men. Sons, the Bible calls them sons of Belial or of the devil. Their behavior was an abomination and also a spiritual stumbling block to the people they served. So here's an example here in the Old Testament of Hophni and Phinehas. There's no doubt even today, just because it's a church, just because they claim to be a man or person of God, it doesn't mean they're exempt from sin. And maybe in some cases that I see are not really even qualified to be called pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, but yet they're still in that place. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. There you go. They knew not the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:22. Now Eli was very old and heard all his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. 1 Samuel 2:24. He says, "Nay, my sons, for it is not good, it's not a good, no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress." It's important who you follow. I've said it before. Whoever has your ear will steer. We need to make sure who we're reading after, who we're listening to, who we're following, who we're fellowship with, who we're associating with. And though these men were in the tabernacle, even though their father was a good man, but failed in some ways as well, they should have never been in these positions that they were serving in. So let's be careful. Again, this abomination, the froward or the perverted heart, we are to stay away from them. So you think of something that's an abomination. You think of something that is wicked, that is horrid. And then remind yourself, okay, because it is, I want to refrain from that. I want to stay away from that. I don't want that involved in my family. See, it's easy when our kids are home. It's easy when the grandkids come over to visit to be on guard, to shield some things. But we need to remind ourselves, just because if we wouldn't want our children exposed to it, we wouldn't want our children exposed to it, do we need to be exposed to it? Do we need to be careful of the people that we associate with, the places that we go, and the things that we're involved with? Letter L, the manner, habits, lifestyle, and character of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 15 in verse number 9. The manner, habits, and lifestyle, as well as character of the wicked. Proverbs 15:9 says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." What does Solomon mean by the phrase "way of the wicked"? Here's what I was talking about, Brother Derek. The word "way" is from a Hebrew word that means, if I'm pronouncing right, is derek. Not Derek, but derek. D-E-H-rek. It not only means the way or road, but also means the manner, the habits, the course of life, or moral character of a person. So here, when the way of the wicked, it encloses. That's why I put actions or manner, habits, lifestyle, because it's the way they go is what it's referring to. It is abomination because their way is wicked. Their character is corrupt. Their habits are hellish and hurtful. Their lifestyle leaves God out of their activities and business. Here's another way to put it. Their course of action has their backs turned to God and their ears closed to his voice. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to face him. They have their backs turned. And this is what Solomon is referring to, the way of the wicked. Zechariah described people like this in Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 12. "Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law in the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts." Very pointed, very direct. The manner, the habits, the lifestyle, the character of the wicked. The Lord, again, using Solomon to write here in Proverbs, the way of the wicked is abomination. unto the Lord. But I like that conjunction there, that he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Without doubt, there's two extreme opposites, abomination and righteous. They have no similarities whatsoever. Only similarity in the aspect we're talking about is God, is that one is abomination to God and the other pleases the Lord. Letter M, abominations to God. The thoughts and the fabrications of the wicked. The thoughts and the fabrications of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. Here we notice that the sacrifices that we've looked at over the last few weeks, the sacrifices, the perversions, the way, and the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. God hates them because he truly knows what and who they are. And we need to remind ourselves at times that he is God and he can read our minds. Sometimes it's scary to me when Michelle and I are talking because we've been married and living together for so long that she can actually finish my sentence and vice versa or know where we're heading. Sometimes when I get into trouble when I think she knows where we're heading and I try to answer, I'm 99.9, like the former Rush Limbaugh, 99.9, but not always right. But God is always right. He knows the thoughts, the intents. He knew my day today before I even woke up this morning. He knows our hearts, he knows our minds, he knows our intent. And we need to remember that. Job chapter 42 and verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. When's the last time literally that you thought that God knows everything? Or just dwelled on it. God knows what I'm thinking right now. God knows what I'll be thinking or doing tomorrow. I think it will help us if we're reminded that not God only knows the intentions of our heart. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. And him knowing our heart, it can be overwhelming. But if we'll remind ourselves as well, it'll help us to stay in check. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. You see, with the Lord, there is no such thing as private thoughts. I am so glad that I don't know the thoughts of others. I may think I know where they're heading. I may think about it, but I'm glad I don't know. I'm glad when we come to church and I'm standing on the platform getting ready to preach or sitting here during the song service that I'm not hearing thoughts and intents of what people are thinking or where their mind is going before I stand up and preach. What was that? It can be very distractive. And as a human being, it could derail me. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a God that's got it all in control? He's got it all under control. Knows the thoughts and intents. Knows what we need. I mean, how many times have you come to church? I had somebody tell me this once. I'll just go ahead and share this illustration and get you to ask yourself. Had someone ask me after service when we were ministering to the military and wanted to know, pulled me aside, husband and wife, and said, she said, who told you? Who told you? And I said, what are you talking about? And her husband goes, God told him. God told him. No one in the church has told him. And I couldn't help it. I got tickled. And I said, sister, what are you referring to? Your message today. I said, well, do you want to get upset with me or do you want to rejoice? Did you make a decision? Did God ring your bell? Did you answer the phone? And her husband's like, I told you. We're wasting the pastor's time. I said, no, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. But she was convinced that somebody told me something because of something that I preached about that day, something they were working on, something they were dealing with, wasn't any big sin in their life. And in all honesty, we could say it's a coincidence, or we could just say it's just God. It's just God. And sometimes he does ring our bell. Sometimes we feel like uncomfortable or we wonder. I mean, have you ever opened your Bible and your devotions and thought, oh, man, I wish I had read that yesterday? I wish I'd have read that yesterday. Knowing the Lord, he's got a great sense of humor. And he shows us and reveals, and he uses his word to correct us. He uses his word to encourage us, and he uses it to challenge us. And so we need to remember that the thoughts and the fabrications of the wicked are an abomination, but to him, the words of the pure are pleasant words. And that's what he wants to hear from us. See, with the Lord, again, there is no such thing as private thoughts. We should pray with David that our words and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable unto God in his sight. Look at Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Here, as you think about the word intelligence, and I had to look this up. The word intelligence is derived from two words or a prefix and a suffix, enter and legere, if I'm saying that right. The word enter meaning between, and legere meaning to choose or gather. So an intelligent person is one that has learned to choose between. Are we learning to make right choices between right and wrong, between righteousness and that which is an abomination? So many things really are easy to know. Oh, that's an abomination to the Lord, or that's a bad thing. Again, that substitute word that we talked about several weeks ago, we talked about sin. No, we're not careful. We'll say that it's not acceptable. That's a bad thing, or they made a mistake. No, we need to remember some of these things. It's not just a lie, not just discord, not just a proud look. It's an abomination. And I think if we remind ourselves of how God looks at that, that will help us to correct those things and have a desire to fix those things and help even those that we're training, kids, grandchildren, or someone that we're mentoring. See, the thing with the Lord, he knows, the intelligent man, the intelligent woman, and when it comes to choosing between, they know that good is better than evil, that confidence should supersede fear, that love is superior to hate. Oh, how our world needs to know that. That gentleness is better than cruelty. That forbearance is better than intolerance. That compassion is greater than arrogance. And that truth has more virtue than ignorance. There's so much here. Let me ask this evening. How is your thought life? How are you doing in that area? What needs to be policed? What do we need that might help us to remind ourselves of how bad that is? That is, it's dangerous. You know, when we lived in Europe, we learned some words real quick. Because there are some, but not learning a language and learning a new culture and not knowing, we learned real quick that Achtung means warning. We learned some things about one-way streets. We learned what flammable was and what toxic was, because when things are out there, you want to protect your children. If we don't know the language, there's a red building out there that may or may not have the crossbones that we might have here in our country, but have a warning written in German or in Russian. And we wanted to make sure that we were protecting our children and checking our family and learning things to stay away from. No one, when you're driving, wants to drive down a wrong way street, especially in a foreign country, especially the way they drive overseas. Well, how we drive here in Phoenix. But you know what I mean. But even in the spiritual realm, with words and with actions and with deeds, there are some warnings that we need to remind ourselves of how close we want to be to it. If I know there's toxins over here and there's a warning and it's flammable, I'm not going to pull up with my car with the engine running. If I need to go over there, I'm probably going to stop well back here somewhere, turn off the engine, probably leave my cell phone in the car before I walk over there and ask about it, because my language is not great, but I think that says flammable, says danger. And if I need to deal with someone's there, I'm going to make sure that I'm approaching it safely. And it's the same way as we study the Word of God and we learn things that God says is abomination. Well, if it's an abomination to God, do I want to be here if this is where the abomination is, or do I want to be back there? And we need to, as we learn and as we grow in the Lord, we begin to learn things. Some things for a new believer, they don't know that it's wrong. They don't know that it's sin. So they may not understand why being there, being around that is wrong until they learn, they grow in the Lord, or they're told about, they're pulled aside. They're encouraged. Say, hey, look, you know, I know you're new in the Lord and you're growing in the Lord, but you know, the Bible refers to some of these things as, and not as not, it uses a stronger word. The Bible says that it's sin. Okay, let's be a little more specific. The Bible says it's an abomination. An abomination, it means disgusting. It's something that God hates. And that's how we mentor and we disciple and we encourage one another. So how is your thought life? Is it acceptable to the Lord? Or is it an abomination? Not using the word sinful. Let's make it strongful. Is it an abomination? We have examined what is an abomination to God. And next week, we will focus our attention on what is an abomination to good men. And then once we get through that, it may take a few weeks, and we'll look at also abominations to bad men. I believe that list might be real short. But what's an abomination to bad men? So let me encourage you tonight as we finish up this section in reference to things that are an abomination to God. Keep your notes handy. Refer back to some things. When you learn something and when you read your Bible, I'm going to ask a few questions. I'm really done. It's early, but I've got a few minutes to ask you a few questions. When's the last time when you're reading your Bible, whether you're reading through Proverbs, today is the 8th, read Proverbs chapter 8. I've been reading a proverb a day for many years, along with my other Bible reading. When you're reading your Bible, when you see something new or something jumps out at you, do you say, oh, wow? Or do you take the time and pull out your notebook and write down what you've learned? No journaling, writing down something you learned, something that you've never seen before. When I was in Bible college, I had a missions teacher. His name was Dan Truex. Brother Truex is in heaven now. He grew up in China and was a missionary to the Sahara Desert to the Muslims. Unique man, spoke Chinese, spoke many of the languages, Arabic and other languages, had the privilege of being in his class, spending some time with him. And one day, he referred to his devotions and talking about keeping a journal, and he called his journal, I think I've referred to it before, is What God Told Me Today. And he talked about it, had a couple of cabinets full. And I went by, after he had his eye surgery, to pick him up, to take him to school and back a few times when he was healing. And I counted that as an honor to spend that time with him. And one day he invited me in, said, hey, I know you've met my wife, but come in and have a cup of coffee. Let's get to know each other a little bit better. And he was such a gracious man. In my eyes, he was a giant for God. And we went in, he goes, let me show you my office. So his wife was fixing us a cup of coffee and started pushing the button to start the coffee. And we went in and he was showing his desk and what he was working on at that time and teaching the class. And I looked at a wall on the corners of his walls. And three walls in his office with large bookshelves, every one of them were filled with notebooks. And every one that I pulled out said this, What God Told Me Today, 1968. What God told me today, whatever year it was, and he had kept many of those. And man, I wanted to ask him, can I take one of these home? And then every day when I pick you up, bring it back and get another. But I was a little bit intimidated. I was afraid to ask him. But I regret it today that I did not ask him. What the point I'm trying to make is, he backed up what he taught. He challenged us to get in the Word, to read the Word of God. And let me challenge you, when you learn something new, get excited, but write it down. Write it down. Write about what you learned. Write about how you learned it. Write about the expression, the emotion that you felt. I mean, write out, wow, today, and make a big deal out of it, because it is a big deal when God reveals and shows you something. And keep that, because God may help you later to use it to encourage someone else. And then I'm going to go out on a limb here before we close. And I want to encourage you, men as well as ladies, not only read your Bible, but try to encourage someone else. Ask another brother. Ask another sister. Hey, how are your devotions? What are you studying in your devotions? Let me tell you what I'm studying. Now, that might be embarrassing if someone asks you and you ain't reading your Bible. I hope it provokes you to read it.
And the answer may be, well, I read Proverbs chapter 8 this morning and this jumped out at me. You may be going through a daily bread. You may be going through another devotional type thing which you're reading and studying. Whatever it may be. But let me encourage you, when you have your devotions, find something that you can talk about. Find something that you can share with someone that day or that week of how God spoke to you. Gentlemen, we're doing this on Tuesdays. We're getting verses, we're sitting down, we're talking about it. And I don't know about you, but man, when I clear my throat, I say, okay, guys, it's a little bit after 9. We need to get head toward to read our scripture, have a word of prayer. Man, I look around the room and I see some eyes that light up. That encourages me as your pastor to see you're ready to talk. You're excited about it. And some of the excitement expressed in your voice when you're sharing your thoughts and having discussions. I mean, I got excited. I get encouraged. And the other night, and I know he's not here tonight, and you continue to pray for Brother Hunt. I always tell him, brother, you don't need to stand. But he wanted to demonstrate how excited he was about jumping up and down. Man, that stirred my soul. I lived on that for several hours, just excited about his excitement. And let's continue to challenge one another and encourage one another in those areas, because the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. And the only way that works is you put metal to metal. And sometimes we need to do that for and with one another. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us, for the joy of service and the joy of fellowship. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for those who are here tonight, those who could not be here, that you bless and encourage them. Lord, Brother Hunt was on my mind, so I just want to mention him as well. Continue to bless him and his body as he strengthens and gets his weight down and makes preparation for that transplant that, Lord willing, will be coming soon. Lord, and I just pray that you continue to strengthen him and bless him and meet his needs. Father, be with Brother Cherry, who's away camping, and keep him safe and meet his needs as well as others that may be traveling and out. Lord, bless them. And now, Father, bless our time of fellowship as we prepare to dismiss tonight, and bless the rest of our week, Lord, and give us an opportunity to share our faith, to be a blessing to one another as well as to others that we meet. Now, Father, again, dismiss us with your love in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great rest of